Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Joe.
And I'm Jamie.
Today we're on our culture unit, and our article is called Working Hand in Glove with Puppets. Of course, here in Taiwan, puppets have played a large role in the culture of this place that we all call home. And back home, well, we don't have as much of a cultural history with puppets, but on TV, I think a lot of us grew up with watching puppet shows on TV. There was a very popular program when Jamie and I were growing up on TV. I think you guys might have got it here, too. It was called Sesame Street. Jamie, did you ever watch that?
I did as a youngster. As a youngin', I did watch that show.
And there was puppets on that show. There was, of course, you know, Big Bird, Kermit the Frog, Bert and Ernie, and they were puppets. They didn't have anything to do with, you know, cultural history, but they were entertaining nonetheless. And I think for us, that was our introduction to the world of puppets. Here in Taiwan, I think people's introduction to puppets is quite a bit different, and we're going to learn about the rise of puppets, the reintroduction of puppets into popular culture in Taiwan over the next couple of days. Let's go ahead and read through today's article, and then Jamie and I will be back.
Puppetry is a form of theater that has been around for thousands of years. There are many kinds of puppets, from those that dance on strings to glove puppets. Skilled glove puppeteers can animate lifeless material and perform all sorts of complicated actions, and no puppeteers are more talented than those from Taiwan. Chinese glove puppetry originated in Fujian province and other parts of southern China. The performances are similar to Chinese opera, with the figures wearing elaborate costumes and acting out epic tales. The characters are all portrayed as either noble heroes or evil villains. Most impressive of all, they are all voiced by a single puppeteer. In the 1970s, glove puppet TV shows became extremely popular in Taiwan. At the height of its popularity, The Scholar Swordsman captured 97% of the viewers in its time slot. The show concerned Shi Yan Wen, a hero who fought against evil. So popular was it that the government banned the show, claiming students and workers were taking unscheduled breaks to watch it. In addition, the show used the Taiwanese dialect, which was inconsistent with the government's policy at that time for the media to promote Mandarin as a standard language in Taiwan. The show was the creation of puppeteer Huang Chen-sheng. He learned his trade at the feet of his father, Huang Haitai, who was called the King of Taiwanese Puppet Theater. Another master of this art form was Li Tianlu, who established a museum in New Taipei City. The museum, named after Li, contains hundreds of puppets that Li himself used in his long and successful career.
Let's start off again with the title of today's program, which is Working Hand in Glove with Puppets. We often have a phrase that we use, working hand in hand with someone. So this is a little bit of a play on words where we say hand in glove, because we're talking a little bit about glove puppets today, among other kinds of puppets. Well, what do we call the art of working with puppets? Well, we simply call it puppetry. It's a form of theater that has been around for thousands of years. It's been around for a very long time. Another way of saying something has been around for thousands of years is you could say it's been around for millennia, which is the plural form of millennium, which refers to 1,000 years.
Exactly. And there are many kinds of puppets, from those that dance on strings to glove puppets. And that's very true. If you look at the world of puppets, there's really a large variety. You have puppets exactly that your hand, you know, you put your hand in them and you can make them speak and do all kinds of emotions. Then there are other puppets that are attached by strings, and these shows are kind of interesting. There's a very famous show called Punch and Judy from England, and that's features a string puppet. So the puppeteer will be above the stage, and he will just move his hand. And on each finger, there's a string. So maybe one string is attached to his thumb, and that will control the left hand. And then maybe on the right hand, that'll be attached to his pinky, the string. So it's very interesting how he can control the puppet just using the fingers on his hand.
Those string puppets are often referred to as marionettes, I believe. So we can call them string puppets, or we can call them marionettes, and we also have glove puppets as well. Skilled glove puppeteers can animate lifeless material and perform all sorts of complicated actions. Somebody who controls a puppet is called a puppeteer, and they can animate lifeless material. Animate means to make something come to life, or to give something life, in other words. Animate also has another meaning. It can refer to drawing, as in making cartoons. So cartoons that you see on TV, like SpongeBob SquarePants, for example, those are animated shows, meaning that they were drawn by hand. Those cartoon characters that you see on the TV screen, they were animated. Well, puppeteers can animate lifeless material. Lifeless just means they are not alive. They have no life to them. Puppets are lifeless until the puppeteer takes control of them, animates them, and brings them to life. And they can animate lifeless material and perform all sorts of complicated actions. Perform just means to act something out or to do something, often in the context of a performance, such as in a play or in a movie, on the radio, or in this case, in a puppet show. And they're doing all sorts of complicated actions. Jamie, if something is complicated, what does that mean?
Something is complicated, it's very difficult. For example, if I ask you to, let's say, solve a math problem, and I say 5 plus 5, what is that?
I believe that is somewhere around 10. That would be my first guess.
Very, very good. That is not complicated.
But that's easy.
Right, that's simple. But something complicated would be a very difficult problem that it would maybe take you a long time to solve, something like algebra or trigonometry, very hard things, very hard questions. That would be complicated. So a skilled glove puppeteer can animate, right, bring to life materials and perform complicated actions. So complicated actions maybe would be jumping around, kicking, spinning, and things that a normal person would do that are not simple because they are complicated. And then the article also mentions that no puppeteers are more talented than those from Taiwan. So I would have to agree with that statement. I think Taiwan does have some of the best puppeteers in the world.
Well, let's learn a little bit about the history of glove puppetry now. Chinese glove puppetry originated in Fujian province and other parts of southern China. If something originates somewhere, it means that is the first place that something takes place. So glove puppetry originated in Fujian province simply means that, well, the first glove puppetry shows took place in Fujian province and also in other parts of southern China. The performances are similar to Chinese opera, with the figures wearing elaborate costumes and acting out epic tales. Figures, in this case, refers to the characters that are portrayed within these glove puppetry shows. And these shows are similar to Chinese opera, so they follow that example, basically. Some of the plots are very similar, some of the characters are similar, and also the wardrobe, what the characters wear, is similar because they all wear elaborate costumes. Elaborate is somewhat similar to the word complicated. It simply means something has many different parts. There's a lot involved, a lot goes into making them. They are not simple costumes. And they also act out these epic tales. Epic means large or grand in scale. There is a lot involved in the tale or in the story. They might involve fantastical things such as magic or superpowers, ghosts, mythical creatures, things of that nature could all be things that would be involved in an epic tale. A regular TV show about normal people going about their daily lives, that is not something we would call an epic tale, but a story involving magical powers, dragons, mythical beasts, knights, sorcerers, wizards, and witches, we could call that an epic tale.
Exactly, and today you'll actually see the term epic used a lot with a lot of the Hollywood movies. An epic tale usually features superheroes or very heroic characters. So sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, the epic movie, maybe like Titanic is an epic story.
Or The Lord of the Rings, an
exactly.
epic tale.
That's a perfect example because it's very, very famous and very big, big adventure. So you can call that an epic tale. And it's also an album by Faith No More, too, epic, I believe. Oh, no, I'm sorry, there was a song on the 1992 album. The characters are all portrayed as either noble heroes or evil villains. So if you're saying that the characters are portrayed, it's that they're shown in a certain way. And a lot of times if you read a story, a character is going to be portrayed in one way or another. So, for example, if the character is very bad, he's portrayed as evil, or he's portrayed as a villain. Or if the character maybe helps people and he gives his money to charity, he would be portrayed as a kind person or a nice person.
We also have these evil villains in these stories. We have the noble heroes, the people who are pure of heart and good in their actions, and the evil villains. Evil villains, well, they are evil. They're bad. They always do bad things. They never do the right thing. They always do the wrong thing. They are always acting in an evil or mischievous or terrible way. Now, most impressive of all these characters are voiced by a single puppeteer. So all these different puppets, these characters with different voices and personalities and character traits, they're all voiced by a single puppeteer. He does all the voices, all the characters, in addition to controlling all the puppets. So that is especially mind-blowing because it takes a lot of talent not only to control the puppets, but to be the actor and the voice behind them as well. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half of today's program. Now let's listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第八个单元。好，我们今天要谈的是 puppetry。puppetry 也就是这一篇文章的开头第一个字。这个 puppetry 讲的是木偶戏。好，我们看到木偶戏它其实呢已经流传了好几千年。但是呢你知道这个木偶戏它其实呢有两种。在西方里面他们比较熟悉的是所谓用提线来操纵的。另外呢在我们台湾来说它其实是手放在这个木偶里头就像戴上手套一样。所以我们看到这一句话里面它提到有这种不同的种类的时候它说 from those that dance on strings to glove puppets, 我们看到 from A to B, 当然是讲这个种类的范围但是它用 those 这个字指的就是说 puppets,Puppets that dance on string 就是像西方他们用提线来操纵的好后面这个就是我们所谓的布袋戏你手放在布偶里面然后像手套一样的形式好咯那接下来他就说了如果是技巧纯熟的那种 puppeteers 好我们看到 puppet 原来是表示木偶那你后面 puppeteer 这个字就是指操纵木偶的人操偶师或者是像我们讲布袋戏的师傅就是一个 puppeteer 他们如果技巧纯熟的话他可以呢让这种好像本来是没有生命的东西变得栩栩如生看到这个动词 animate animate 就是赋予生命让什么活了起来好那他让这些没生命的一些布偶或者是木偶把它变得栩栩如生表演各种复杂的动作那说到这种操偶师啊那是没有什么人比台湾的操偶师更具天分了这边一样的在后面这里又用到 those 在最后这句话里面指的就是 puppeteers比从台湾来的木偶师傅更具天分那可说没有别人了好下面这段他说诶我们提到我们的布袋戏啊其实是起源于福建省起源于中国的南方好那但是他讲到这种表演呢就有点像京剧那剧里面的人呢他会穿什么样的衣服好他提到这些人穿着 elaborate costumes 这个就表示 elaborate 就是精心制作的 精心制作的戏服。不过要注意的还是句型，句型里面它用到 with， 好，这是一个介系词哦。可是你看到它有一个句型就是 with 后面加受词，受词然后加补语，像这句就是这样。With the figures， figures 是它的受词，而后面的 wearing 这个现在分词，哎，就是一个补语。好，这个片语呢常常就用来说明一个情况，所以他就讲到，哎，他们的相似之处在哪里，是什么样的情形。好咯，那我们再往下读，下面又说到，哎，剧里面的角色他呢要不就是 noble heroes， 高贵的英雄，要不呢就是Evil villains， Evil villains 讲的就是邪恶的反派。那最令人印象深刻的呢，就是说他们其实同一位操偶师来配音的。
We're going to take a short break now on English Digest, but don't go away, we'll be right back. Welcome back to English Digest. My name is Joe and I'm here in the studio with Jamie today, and we're talking about our article which is entitled Working Hand in Glove with Puppets. We were learning a little bit about the background of puppetry. We learned that puppet theater has been around for thousands of years, and there are many different kinds of puppets, such as glove puppets and those that dance on strings, which we learned are called marionettes.Now, the most skilled glove puppeteers can bring these lifeless puppets to life and do all kinds of complicated actions with them. They can make them dance. They can make them move in a very lifelike way, just like human beings would almost. Now, Chinese glove puppetry, it originated or it began in Fujian province and all over southern China. And these performances are somewhat similar to Chinese opera. The costumes are quite the same.And they act out some of the same epic tales. Now, these puppets are basically broken down into two groups, the characters. We have noble heroes and evil villains. And all of these characters are actually voiced by the same single puppeteer.
And in the 1970s, glove puppet TV shows became extremely popular in Taiwan. So it was during this time frame where people really started to tune in and really become interested in these shows.At the height of its popularity, The Scholar Swordsman captured 97% of viewers in its time slot. This is really amazing. If you say something is at the height of its popularity, that means the point where it's either a person or a show or anything is most popular. And for example, you might look at an entertainer, maybe somebody like Michael Jackson, for example, right? He was famous his whole life.But he was really at the height of his popularity in the mid-1980s. That's when he came out with all of his best albums. Or, for example, if you look at basketball, Kobe Bryant is an excellent player, but he's getting a little bit old now. He was really at the height of his popularity, or he was at the height of his ability, maybe about 5 or 10 years ago when he was a little bit younger.And the show, The Scholar Swordsman, this is what's really so amazing. It captured 97% of the viewers in its time slot. And time slot is just a period of time where a show is on TV. So, for example, a time slot could be the 8 to 9 p.m. on Saturday night time slot or 4 to 5 p.m. It's just the time where something is on. But 97% of the viewers, wow, that's like almost everybody in the whole country was watching the show.
Yeah, that's basically unheard of, I think, even during major events like, say, well, one of the most major TV events of the year in the United States would be the Super Bowl, the National Football League Championship. I don't think even that comes close to 97% of the viewers. It's a quite a high number, but nowhere near 97%. I don't think any TV show nowadays comes even close to that. But, of course, today we have so many more...entertainment and channel options than I guess they had back in the 1970s. There probably wasn't that many TV channels for people to watch, but nevertheless, that is a very great achievement. Well, the show concerned Xu Yanwen, a hero who fought against evil. The show concerned this character. It just means this show was about this character. It was about his life. It was about what he was doing. and he was a hero who fought against evil. Now, so popular was it that the government banned the show, claiming students and workers were taking unscheduled breaks to watch it. So the show was basically a victim of its own success. Everybody was watching it, and the government, well, they didn't actually like this. They banned the show. If you ban something, it means you make it so something is not allowed. People are not allowed to do something, or not allowed to watch something, or to say something. And they banned the show, they got rid of it, because they claimed that students and workers were taking unscheduled breaks to watch it. In other words, they were watching it when they were supposed to be studying, or when they were in class, or when they were supposed to be working. They were taking unscheduled breaks. If something is unscheduled, it means it's not on the schedule. For example, your schedule at school might be 8:30 to 9:30, you have math class, then you have a scheduled 5-minute break or 10-minute break. If you took a break when you were supposed to be in that math class, well, that would be an unscheduled break.
Exactly, and sometimes, maybe even at work, there might be an unscheduled meeting, and that's usually what happened at the last minute. Something very important comes up. There wasn't time to send an email out, so it's an unscheduled meeting. So nobody knew about it last minute, and it wasn't planned is the key point. In addition, the show used the Taiwanese dialect, which was inconsistent with the government's policy at that time for the media to promote Mandarin as a standard language in Taiwan. All right, it's a pretty long sentence there, and some very interesting points here. When you talk about a dialect is a way of speaking. And it can be within the same language. So, for example, there's different dialects for Chinese. There's the Mandarin dialect, and then there's also Taiwanese, which is based on it. And then there's also Cantonese, which is spoken in Hong Kong. And these are all different dialects. And it was very inconsistent. Allowing a show to be in Taiwanese was inconsistent with the government's policy at that time. So that means it didn't follow the normal rules. It was inconsistent. The normal policy was the show has to be in Mandarin. But this, maybe because the show was so good, they just decided, okay, we're going to allow it. It's okay. We'll make an exception.
Yeah, maybe they thought people would get angry if they forced these changes upon the show because, as you say, it was inconsistent with the policy. It was against the policy because the government at the time was trying to promote Mandarin. They wanted people to speak Mandarin and not Taiwanese as the standard language in Taiwan. But, well, they let it slide for a while, but eventually they did ban the show. But let's learn a little bit more about the history and the people behind the show. The show was the creation of puppeteer Huang Chengsheng. He learned his trade at the feet of his father, Huang Haitai. A trade is something that you do for a living. Often today when we talk about learning a trade, it refers to something in the professional capacity that has to do with fixing or making things. For example, learning to be a plumber, that is a trade. Working as a construction worker or as a repairman, those are trades. If you go to school to become, say, a teacher or a lawyer or a doctor, we don't really refer to those as trades. We refer to those as professions. It's just how we divide up these different segments of the workforce. Now, he learned this trade at the feet of his father. It just means, well, when he was very, very young, in other words, when he was a kid, he was, well, literally at the feet because he was short. He was a child. But he was learning at the feet of his father. He was following his father around and learning how to become a puppeteer.
Exactly. And another form of the art was Li Tianlu. He was another master of this art. And he actually established a museum in New Taipei City. If you establish something, that just simply means that you set it up. So, for example, you might establish a company in another country. That means that you just set it up in another country. And this museum, which was named after Li, has hundreds of puppets that he used during his career. And if you're named something after something, it means that the name comes from somebody or something else from before. So, for example, if my grandfather's name was Jeff, and I was named after my grandfather, my name would also be Jeff.
That's right. Named after just means that something takes the name of a person or a place that has previously existed. So a lot of places, a lot of buildings will often be named after famous historical figures. A lot of the streets in Taipei and around Taiwan are actually named after places in mainland China, for example. And as Jamie mentioned, people are often named after other people, their ancestors, who came before them in their family. That is a very popular practice in order to keep certain names going throughout a family history. Well, that brings us to the end of today's article, and now once again, let's bring in our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看这个台湾这边的布袋戏，他提到是1970年的时候开始风靡全台。那在他最极盛的时期，用到 at the height of， 在他最受欢迎、最极盛的时期呢，就是有一部我们可能都听说过了，《云州大儒侠》史彦文，他把它翻成 The Scholar Swordsman， 如果字面来翻，好像是学者剑客。当然，这也就是大儒侠这个意思哦。好，我们看当时收视率达到 97% 哦。那这个戏啊是在讲什么？它是在讲一位跟邪恶对抗的英雄，也就是史彦文的故事。好，不过下面这句非常重要的，他说到 So popular was it that the government banned the show? So popular was it?这个其实是一个倒装句，我们知道 so 跟 such 太怎么样以至于怎么样，它后面有一个 that 子句，那这个太怎么样以至于怎么样，如果你把 so 这一部分搬到前面的话，就会形成倒装句。像这里呢，原来我们应该要从哪里讲起，应该从 it 开始说，应该说 it was so popular that， 但是很明显的这已经是倒装句了。好，就是因为 so popular 这一部分呢，把它放到句首的关系。好，我们继续往下读。当时政府呢就禁播这个剧，理由就是说这个学生啊、上班族啊，他呢，在不该休息的时间跑去看节目了。好，这个叫 unscheduled breaks， 意思就是说本来不该休息的时候，你却休息了。好，此外呢，当然这出布袋戏用的是台语，这跟政府的语言政策不一致。好，不一致是 inconsistent。好，再来我们看最后这一段，他就要说了，其实这个节目呢，他是谁所创作的？是黄俊雄先生，而黄俊雄先生的父亲是黄海岱，所以黄俊雄先生他是师承父亲这位所谓的布袋戏通天教主黄海岱先生，从他这边学到这样技能。好，我们看到了这边有一个 learned his trade， 我们注意到 trade 当然它可以是贸易，可是呢在这个地方这个 trade 就相当于 occupation， 也是一个人的职业，他是从他父亲这边学到这门职业的诀窍。好，我们再来往下，下面呢还要注意到的就是后面呢他说到了这个另外还有一个布袋戏师傅叫李天禄，那在新北市呢他创立了一个博物馆，提到这个博物馆的名称怎么来的，因为他就是李天禄布袋戏文物馆，所以他说 named after Lee， 这个 named after 就是以谁的名字来命名。
That's all the time we have today for English Digest, but please do join Jamie and myself next time when we continue talking all about our article Working Hand in Glove with Puppets. Until next time, for English Digest, I'm Joe.
I'm Jamie.
Goodbye.